If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
For decades, he's been the king of Memphis.
It's good to be king of your own little town.
You want to see the king? You think anybody would pay to come down and see a sawed-off runt, bug-eyed Bill Dundee? No, they come to see me, baby.
King of them all, right here it is, baby. The greatest wrestler that ever lived and ever will step into a ring. You're looking at him, and I am the champion.
And you may be familiar with his work in WWE, too.
I'll show you who the real king of the World Wrestling Federation is.
It's the most electrifying move. It's Sports Entertainment Today. Oh, the people double! It's Mr. McMahon arrived. It's Mr. McMahon arrived. It's Mr. McMahon arrived. Look, look, look. He's trying to bite him.
For 50 years, he's been known all over the world as one of wrestling's biggest stars. And now, he's decided to share all of his favorite stories from his 50 years in wrestling with you.
Tell me a story.
Why don't you put your false teeth in backward and eat yourself to death?
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
This is the Jerry Lawler Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Jerry Lawler Show. This is Sean Reedy welcoming you back. Sorry that we've been away, but we are here to celebrate the 50th anniversary coming up of Jerry's career. We have an event coming up in Jackson, Tennessee, at the ballpark at Jackson, the home of the Jackson Generals, on September 26th with USA Championship Wrestling. And with me, we have the King, of course, to talk about this great event, as well as the promoter, longtime Memphis name, Bert Prentice. How are you guys doing?
Well,
doing great.
I'm doing fine. We just jumped right into the fact that this podcast, this time, is going to be all about the anniversary show, which is actually, I mean, we do have, I'm tickled to death to have Bert on here. I'm excited about this anniversary show that's coming up, but a lot of stuff has happened since we did our last podcast, and we're going to be talking about all of that sort of stuff here today. I mean, this is going to be a packed podcast, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, yes. We have to talk about, obviously, the passing of Kamala and many other things in the wrestling world.
We're gonna get into that. We're going to talk about that. But first, we want to talk with Bert Prentice, right?
Absolutely. This is such a cool event. I mean, 50 years. It's so crazy. I mean, I know, on one hand, some of us think, of course, it's Jerry the King Lawler. Of course, he's going to have that type of career. But you were just a kid with a dream, with a mouth that worked, and an ability to entertain people in the ring. And here we are all these years later. Unbelievable.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about me or Bert Prentice?
Either.
Hey, Bert, are you there?
He's talking about you, King.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I really don't want to go back into rehashing all of this, the whole 50-year career, mainly because my memory is not that great. I don't remember too much about it, other than the fact that 50 years seems like a long, long time. I used to remember as a teenager or whatever, I'd see people celebrating their 50th anniversary of being married, the golden anniversary, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how are these people even still alive, much less being celebrating this for 50 years? But yeah, it seems like it's gone by in the blink of an eye. And I just, Bert, our buddy Mark James, just put up a thing on Twitter the other day. He's actually found, of course, Mark's a great historian, but he actually found the original newspaper ad from the old Commercial Appeal newspaper here in Memphis that my first match ever in Memphis at the old Ellis Auditorium before we went to the Coliseum was in August of 1970. So really, I mean, as we're doing this podcast, I wrestled Mac York. Do you remember that name, Bert?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Mac. Mac used to come to the matches at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds and visit you, in the mid-90s when we were running full steam there.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is the Jerry Lawler Show.
I was telling Sean earlier, before we started the podcast, Mac York was my first opponent at the Ellis Auditorium, working for Nick Gulas and Roy Welch, my first Memphis match. And Mac York was also the brother of Paul Morton, who was the father of Ricky Morton, who's in the Rock and Roll Express. And so Mac York was Ricky Morton's uncle.
Yeah, and Paul Morton was a great referee. They called him Bald Eagle.
Bald Eagle, you're right, exactly. Well, anyway, yeah, it's been now 50 years since that match, and I guess probably Mark James would know the exact number, but I would really like to know the exact number of matches that I've had over those 50 years. But that's the thing that kind of gets away from me when I start, people will ask me, oh, you know, remember this about a certain match, and remember who was your favorite opponent or who was your best tag team partner. And oh my gosh, after having thousands and thousands of matches over those 50 years, I can't, that kind of stuff just all runs together for me. Bert, do you?
You would have to have, I mean, most, I think if you even took an average of 300 dates a year, and sometimes maybe more times 50 years, it's an amazing number, an amazing feat, or an incredible, I mean, for obviously the best who's ever stepped in the ring, in my opinion.
Oh, well. Some people ask me sometimes, who was the best manager? Who was the best heel manager that we ever had in Memphis? And of course, the name that comes to mind, Sean, I'm sure you're a little bit familiar. Well, Sean, you're real familiar with Memphis history. And Bert Prentice worked for us forever here in Memphis. Not his entire career, but for a big part of his career as one of our top managers. And you actually, Bert, you managed Brett the Hitman Hart when he came to Memphis to go against me, didn't you?
I managed Brett, and I managed Owen, which was an honor. I managed Giant Gonzalez, and that had set his hair on fire. I mean, Papa Shango, everybody that Vince seemed to send in, you know, I ended up, you know, in their corner, which that was an amazing time for sure.
Really was. My favorite, though, that remember the Dragon Master?
Oh yeah, that was the first night I came into the territory. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I come up with this. You know, I was into booking people with these monster masks that I would buy out of the back of Famous Monster magazines. These Don Post vinyl rubber like monster magazines that looked so realistic. We had Dr. Frank, and then we had every kind of monster that they would come up with in these monster masks. And then all of a sudden, one day I'm looking and this. There's a huge, I mean, really huge mask. It was like, and this back in the day, this was a lot, but it was like almost $200 for this one mask. But then when the thing came in the mail, it was like 3 or almost 4 feet long. It not only went on the person's head, then it had this big dragon thing that went up over his head, this big dragon's face, and then it came down over his chest. And who was the guy that we put that on we brought him out in like a casket or something, didn't we?
I want to tell this entire story if we have time. And yeah, I'll do it quickly. But his name was Gary Rich, and he was legit 6'11". But in that mask, he really did look 8.5 feet, 9 feet tall. It was just incredible. And they had me push this box out to the ring. Now, I knew who Jerry Lawler was, and I just got to the territory. But I had worked at Global, and, of course, I started for Vern Gagne. I'd been around, and I knew who Lawler was, but I and that's about it. I just knew who he was. And I got to TV on a Saturday morning, and they said, you're going to manage this guy, the Dragon Master, and you're going to push this, you're going to do all this. And I come to find out the guy has only had 7 matches in his entire life. And I'm like, they got me moved to Memphis, and I'm going to manage this guy. We're going to be out of here in 2 weeks, and where the heck am I going to go? And so I'm just brand new. I mean, I'm just came in from Global. I was on ESPN a while, so few people might have knew me from there, but Memphis didn't know me. But I didn't know this is how Memphis worked, but I think this was 1992, my first day in TV, and the next thing I know, we're in the main event Monday night at the Mid-South Coliseum. And the whole thing is, you know, goes as planned on TV, and it went well. He was, I mean, I was his mouthpiece, and but he was very, I mean, that mask was, it was one of, and Jerry's had a lot of them, but that mask was epic, and that kid was huge, but he could not walk and chew gum at the same time, and that doesn't mean he did not be in a great wrestler, because he went on to do other things, but I'm thinking, a guy with 7 matches, oh my God, this is, how are we going to, a main event at Mid-South Coliseum, and it drew very respectable, and I'm out there, and this is when I learned and really realized how incredible Jerry Lawler was.
Oh, please.
I've been around, and I watched Jerry with this guy who had no idea what he was doing, had everybody in the place thinking, you know, this guy was Bret Hart. Because, I mean, he made this kid. And I got so enthralled watching the match, I forgot that I was managing. I thought I was sitting in the front row. Because I seen how Lawler worked, and it was like Copperfield, because you wanted to see, what in the world? So at that point, and then we ended up beating him for the world title that night. And I'm thinking, man, if I work with Jerry Lawler every night, I'll be fine. And ended up, there's actually a wrestling record book that says Burt Prentice caused Jerry Lawler to lose the unified title more than any other manager. And I love that title. I like throwing that up all the time. But the match was unbelievable. I think Dragon Master stayed, 3-4 weeks maybe. And I was there almost 10 years. Well, till they closed.
Yeah, you were there till 97 or so, and then you still came back, and when did you come and do some stuff with Power Pro or with
I did with Power Pro, but I did with Corey's other thing at 30, and then me and you had a few TV things at I forgot that place, but that sure was a great place to do TV at that building. But
the Vine,
yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, and let me tell you, if there was a really good venue that people would come to, I mean, you know, I Jerry and I would be doing something in Memphis now. It's just few and far between, and I think I've been very blessed just having the Jackson area, the Jackson, which used to be the Jackson Coliseum, Oman Arena, which was our regular venue up until the COVID hit. And now we've just built our own TV studio there. And I was lucky that all the political players in Jackson wanted this in Jackson. And they told me if I could do it at the open air ballpark that, hey, I mean, the mayor's been nothing but really, you know, beyond. And the Jackson Generals Ball Club, they are supporting this thing. And, you know, there's always hype. Oh, tickets are flying off. They're really. But we haven't even legitimately started advertising this thing. It's been word of mouth. All of our media breaks on September 1 as far as the billboards and the radio. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to even do that because the field seats really are almost already gone at $50 a piece.
Now, you speak of the mayor. The mayor there, I've been honored by several different mayors, especially here in Memphis, back when I won the AWA World Championship in 1988. The mayor, Mayor Hackett at the time, made it Jerry Lawler Day. Then later on, Mayor Willie Harrington made us a special Jerry Lawler Day. And then later on, A.C. Wharton, the mayor, made Jerry Lawler Day. But the mayor in Jackson is going one step further. What's he doing there in Jackson that week?
They are making it Jerry Lawler Week. And we're actually making this a six-day celebration of the king and his career. There's something going on at our home at Studio 45 in Jackson every night that week. Kane is coming in doing a private meet and greet. We're going to be displaying some of Jerry's artwork. We're going to have some other wrestling going on that week. And it's just going to be an incredible week. And we're very cognizant that it's COVID time. But we are following the same protocol as the Bristol Speedway, who just had 30,000 people up there at their racetrack. And we're, of course, we got guidelines that we have to follow, and we will follow them. And the stadium for concert seats about 9,900, baseball about 6. And we've been approved for 2,050 people at this point. Now, things are starting to plateau a little bit in Tennessee, and they will look at it around the 19th of September, and they'll let us know then what the official number will be, what we can have. Maybe a little higher than that, but we've definitely been approved for 200 seats on the floor and 1,850. And that will be able, people will be comfortable, they can spread out, and, you know, we have an amazing list of folks that are coming to honor Jerry. It's just amazing.
Well, you
and
talk
the list grows every day.
Yeah, and you talk about the venue. It's the official name is the Ballpark at Jackson, but we call it the Jackson Generals Baseball Stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. Anybody that's been by Jackson, Tennessee, when you go, if you're going from Memphis to Nashville, anytime down Interstate 40. Boom, it's right there off of on the, well, depending right or left, which way you're going. But anyway, it's right off the interstate there in Jackson. A beautiful,
yeah, it's exit 85.
Yeah, yeah, exit 85. A beautiful stadium. Like you said, a big, big, nice, beautiful ballpark. So it's going to be exciting and a great place to have this event.
Yeah, and they're allowing tailgating if people want to come in early that day out there. And obviously with the social distancing, but that you can come, you know, put your hot dogs or whatever you want to do, or just make it a celebration. I have wrestlers that are going to be hosting that out in the parking lot. And, of course, that afternoon, like I said, Kane's got a private meet and greet. Plus, he'll be signing out at the ballpark.
You mentioned the parking lot and tailgating. I just was on the phone this morning to finalize this deal. I'm sure you remember, Bert. I don't know if you do, Sean, but back in 2000, when I left the WWE for just a short time there, I got hooked up with this guy named Rev out of Florida, and he produced monster truck shows. And so the next thing you know, we had a Jerry Lawler monster truck. And we were going all around. Well, we went all around the world. We went to Puerto Rico. We went to not the Bahamas. We went to Bermuda. We went to Bermuda with these trucks, and we were all over the place with the monster truck shows. And Rev called me the other day, and he's working on a new project. But long story short, he wants to bring the Jerry Lawler monster truck out of retirement and bring it to the show there in Jackson. And maybe I can. He wanted to have me drive it out to the ring for the match that night. But earlier in the day, we may have it driving around the parking lot there.
How cool would that be? And that's a direct shot from the dressing room to the home plate where it is. And there is a track there you can drive on. Man, people would love that. That would be amazing.
Well, it looks like that's definitely going to happen. So I'm excited about it. But it's going along with.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's just amazing.
Yeah. They're producing. We're gonna start producing these little cookies that are sort of like animal crackers or whatever, but they're called Monster Bites. and the little cookie with the monster bite, and we'll be there promoting those things, and that's what the monster truck is going to be all about. So I just finished yesterday doing the artwork for the boxes that these cookies are going to come in. So there's going to be all sorts of stuff that's going to go along with that show, that anniversary show. We may be, that may be the debut of the Monster Bites as well. But anyway, what about, Bert, you mentioned Kane. I'm so excited that some of these great superstars have, when they hear about this event, they want to be a part of it. And Kane was one of the first guys, Glenn Jacobs, of course, WWE, superstar for many, 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 many years. And now he's going to be there, right?
Yeah, the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, Glenn Jacobs, as Kane, will be there. And, yeah, that guy is just very, very over-the-top pumped to come. And talked to him a few times lately, and he just said, man, this is just going to be so good. And, you know, a lot of people wondered, would we even get to pull this thing off? And I wasn't taking no for an answer. I would have found somewhere to have this, because Lawler deserves this. And he deserves it in the 50th year of his career. And there, I have learned that there are Jerry Lawler fans from, I mean, coast to coast, and the people from out of the country that have just wrote in, that just wishing they could come. And just this thing would have been, I honestly believe, in the normal times, that would have been a sold out stadium with international attendees from all over the world. Really, honest.
Well, I do know my buddy Juan Santos is going to – he's already making plans. He's coming all the way from San Francisco. So there are going to be people coming into Jackson from, like you said, all over the country. And I just got word from someone, from a fan from Canada, that is making their plans to come down. So they'll be coming in, like you said, internationally. It's going to be exciting. But give us a list, sort of an updated list of some of the stars that are going to be on hand for this – show. Now, Berta, if I'm not mistaken, of course, the matches will start at, like, maybe, what time, 7 o'clock or whatever?
Matches are going to start at 7:30, yes.
7:30. But the meet and greet where all the fans can come and meet and get pictures made and autographs with all of the different stars there, that's going to start at what time?
5 o'clock.
Oh, you got to start it earlier than that. Please.
Well, that's 2.5 hours.
That's not long enough.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Well, it's your celebration. What time do you want to start?
I would start the meet and greet. I would start the meet and greet at 4 o'clock.
Okay. Deal.
That's what time I would start the meet and greet and give everybody. But you've got so many that I'm just glancing down this list. I mean, it's going to take a while for everybody to come by and say hi and get an autograph from all of these great stars that are going to be. Give us a few of the names that are already signed onto this thing.
Well, I have a couple names.
Okay.
But I want to start off with superstar Bill Dundee, of course.
What? Wait a minute. Who invited him? Sean, is that your idea to invite Dundee?
Oh, you know I love Bill Dundee.
Yeah, I know. I do too. I do too.
And Bill is, you know, a part of the Memphis legacy, and there's no place he'd rather be. But, yeah, of course, Kane definitely. Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, wow.
Is coming. Lex Luger.
Holy mackerel.
Tony Atlas. The Rock and Roll Express. D'Lo Brown. And a lot. There's a lot. What I love is there's a lot of the old guard coming, like George Gulas.
Oh,
and Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Oh,
Bobby Eaton.
Beautiful Bobby Eaton. Beautiful Bobby's going to be there.
Beautiful Bobby Eaton's going to be there. We're featuring an incredible ladies match, featuring the daughter of Terry Gordy, Miranda Gordy, against Thunder Rosa. There are Tony Falk, Jerry Calhoun.
Yes.
Just a lot of legends. Reggie B. Fine is
oh, Lord.
Come.
Reggie B.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I see this name. Is this right? Dory Funk Jr.?
Terry Funk Jr. 100% is going to be there.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Amazing. Rick McCord, who used to work in the Gulas territory back in the day. The Colorado kid, Mike Rapata, who you had a big feud with, former two-time NWA champion. I mean, the list just it goes on and on. Candy Devine, you know, from Derek King, some current wrestlers are there. But it's just an amazing, amazing group. And I heard yesterday from Scott Steiner, who said that he definitely would like to come and is trying to clear his schedule and would confirm today if he could come. So, Dangerous Doug Gilbert, we're going to let him in the stadium at least.
What about that goofball Matt Riviera? I've been having some running.
Matt Riviera.
Well, Sean and I, we've had him on the show. We've had him on the podcast. And Matt Riviera is one of those guys that's like, and Bert, tell me if I'm wrong here. I went through this one time with Eddie Gilbert, who was a fantastic talent, and of course his brother Doug and everything. But when I was wrestling against Eddie, it was almost like Eddie was, they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. It was almost like Eddie was such a super fan of mine as a kid growing up, and then it almost went to being from a fan to. Once he got into wrestling, it almost went from being a fan to being a stalker. In the fact that Eddie Gilbert, in my mind, he just didn't want to be around me. He wanted to be me. He wanted to get rid of me and take over what I had accomplished my whole career. You know, he started throwing the fire. He started wearing a crown and all of this sort of stuff. And it's almost like Matt Riviera is, to me, trying to relive the Eddie Gilbert era of my life. Do you see that at
100%, all? 100%. Matt Riviera just offered you $50,000 cash just to walk away from the business.
Yeah.
He's taken on some of
you. He had the money there. I mean, I've seen the money. It was real money. It was crazy.
Yeah, the guy
– No, he wants to be – yeah. Matt, yeah, he wants to be you. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and Matt, we talked to him on the podcast before, and he's an admitted. I mean, he was on the show. I think it was Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire or something like that. But anyway, he's a multimillionaire, basically because he lived off his family's business over in Arkansas, and not that he did anything himself to earn this money, but the fact is he's got a lot of money. And you're right. He came to me. We've had several matches, and Matt hasn't been able to win many of them, or maybe not any of them. But as Bert said, he made this crazy offer. How much was it he offered me to just stop and quit wrestling?
There was $50,000 in that bag, for real.
Yeah, he offered me.
He's gonna give you $1,000 for every year you wrestled to leave.
Yeah,
to leave for good.
Well,
for good. Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted me to leave for good. But anyway, I didn't take that. But, Bert, I know you're the promoter, and I know you're going to book the show, and you're going to book the matches. And, I got a lot of people. I don't, even though probably the biggest historical match as an opponent would be, of course, Bill Dundee. But, I don't think Bill and I want to wrestle against each other anymore. So, but I know Matt Riviera is campaigning and trying hard that he wants to face me at this show and just ruin my 50th anniversary by beating me and like putting me out of the business on that historic night. But Bert, I don't want to wrestle this guy.
It's for that reason alone. He won't be your opponent. But we'll release that on the 31st of August. As you well know, Jerry, we got a list of we started at about 30 people. It's down to 10, and we'll decide that. And we're going to give the people. Let me tell you, they're going to get more than their money's worth because we were talking about people going to be there. One half of PG-13, Wolfie D is coming in. A lot of fans looking forward to seeing Wolfie. Wildfire, Tommy Rich. Just the list is endless, and it grows every day.
Yeah, I'm just so excited about this. Ordinarily, I wouldn't be excited about anything that brings attention to the fact that I've been around this long. But this is going to be something else. It really is.
It was great the other day. I was at Lawler's house. We were going over some of the business stuff that we do, and he said, I just don't. And phone call after phone call. Jerry, can you hook me up with tickets? Hook me up. And Jerry says, I am not doing. Finally, he just said, stop this. He said, my God, Bert, what are you doing over there? I'm like, yeah, we can't really be helping your friends out with a lot of tickets on this one because we're restricted on our crowds. But the word just, I mean, everybody wants to be a part of this incredible night for Jerry. And anybody listening, the ticket line is area code 731-234-5883. And this isn't promoter hype. There are very few field seats available, and then there's general admission $20 all throughout the stadium. But we are going
Hang on, Bert, because I'm even writing. I didn't have that information. So if somebody wants to reserve tickets or buy tickets right now, they can call 731-234-5883.
Yeah, and they can do a credit card order by phone. They'll help you. That's the main ticket line. They have a PayPal set up if people want to go that route, or you can get them at any live USA event. But what I wanted to just pledge to the people, we have so much that Jerry don't even know what's going to happen. But we're going to show him a 50th anniversary like no other. And if you were a fan of Memphis or the King in any matter, shape, or form, you're going to want to spend this special night with him. And I'm really, really pumped that Jerry is also going to be accessible to the fans to sign autographs. I know he's getting a special T-shirt made commemoratively for the event. We're doing a first-class slick edition of chronicling his 50 years in the business for our official program. But just the people, I mean, just the dignitaries there may be a well-known country music star going to do the national anthem. We're working on so many things. This has become I'm running 5 shows this week with USA Wrestling, but my staff's running all that because I'm full-time 24/7 on the Lawler anniversary show. That has become my full-time gig. But when the seats are gone, they're gone, folks. So you might want to think about calling. But I was getting back to that, doing it at the ballpark. I know a lot of people say, well, why wouldn't Jerry have the anniversary in Memphis? And if there was a facility that could accommodate this thing, we definitely would have considered that. But Jerry's got an incredible history in Jackson, Tennessee. And what I like about it is if people are flying in, then you fly into Memphis or Nashville. Or if people, he's got an incredible fan base, obviously, in Arkansas and Memphis. And he's got an incredible fan base in Kentucky and Nashville. So Jackson's kind of meeting in the middle. And like Jerry said, this is a state-of-the-art minor league baseball stadium. This isn't no fly-by stadium. This has all the amenities, from the club boxes, the professional concession stands. I mean, this is, and every seat in that ballpark is perfect.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Matter of fact, they've been a minor league stadium team for, who is it now? It was Seattle.
Was the Mariners for years, and now it's the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it's the Arizona Diamondbacks minor league stadium there. It's, like you said, it's a beautiful, beautiful stadium. It'll be outdoors, plenty of social distancing, and, it's going to be unbelievable. I'm excited. I can't wait to see some of these people that I haven't seen for years. You know, Dory Funk Jr., oh, my gosh. I love
Dory. A young man coming in, his name is Carl Fergie. I don't know if you remember him.
Carl Fergie? That's my cousin. King Carl Fergie. Yes, he's got a long way to come because I think, doesn't he live in Jackson?
Yes, he sure does. Yeah. And the legend, Tony Falk, will be there.
Oh, wow. And Tony Falk, I just read, that Tony Falk's having a, in his hometown, they're having like a Tony Falk day or week.
Yesterday, the mayor made it Tony Falk Day. Yep.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, we had him on TV for so many years as Boy Tony. He was one of our favorite guys. He had like the longest losing streak, I think, in the history of Memphis wrestling. And then finally he started winning. We're going to have Boy Tony or Tony Falk on the podcast one day. He's got some incredible stories.
What is amazing, guys, is if you check in with me next week for the podcast, I guarantee you this list will be even longer. There are so many people wanting to get on. Well, Jerry, as you well know, we talked about some of the people texting you, hey, King, I'm available. And you don't want to overwhelm the event. But I think this may be one of the final times where just a real gathering of legends is really going to happen. And, you know, this year, because of the COVID out in Las Vegas, the Cauliflower Alley convention was canceled. I've Yep. noticed a lot of people that were going to that have reshifted their plans and coming to Jackson that weekend. And this has kind of turned into a mini convention of that group. But they just decided to make this. They had the time off anyway. They had taken the week and they just switched their flights to Memphis or Nashville, because we have a lot of people that normally were attending the Cauliflower Alley that were coming in.
Well, that's why I say you've got to have the meet and greet portion of this to be a little bit longer, because of the fact that it's going to be so many. I mean, there are going to be vendors there. There's going to be so much to see, so much that's available to the fans that will be, you know, it's just going to take a long time for the
enjoy. Right. We may need to do it at 3 o'clock, because I think there's over 50 tables.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know I've done a lot of shows for Michael Lombardi up in Northeast Wrestling, and whenever he does the Wrestling Under the Stars and these, he does a lot of shows at baseball stadiums up there as well. And he will have the wrestlers and the vendors all set up all throughout the entire concourse of the baseball stadium, as I'm sure that's the way it'll be here in Jackson. And
that's how they're doing it. Yep.
Just thousands of people will be in line to meet all of these different stars, and they'll go from one to the next to the next, and it'll be an awfully exciting weekend or awfully exciting night that day or that
well,
day.
And if the truck ends up coming, my gosh, everyone's going to want to pose with that truck.
Well, I think the truck is coming, so it's going to be fun. I'll tell you.
That is great. We have invited some folks we haven't heard back yet, but we hope to, such as Len Rossi. I know King would love to see him again.
Oh, my gosh, Len Rossi, yes.
Referee Frank Morrell. We have reached out to them folks, and I tell you, this list grows every day.
Well, then you're going to have to do this, Bert, every week on our – you're going to have to keep us updated every week on the podcast with any new additions, or we'll just check in with you and keep seeing how things are going as we get closer and closer to September the 26th, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, we didn't get a WrestleMania weekend this year. We didn't get the Cauliflower Alley Club, but we're getting this. It's basically WrestleMania for Jerry Lawler.
You know what? It has the feel of that in Jackson, and it really does. And there again, this isn't promoter's hype. Lawler will tell you the talk is out there, because he's getting hit with this every day, because I've seen it personally. And because he said, what are you doing? I said, I haven't even started advertising the doggone thing yet.
And I've not even put it up on Twitter or Instagram or anything yet as myself either.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the most amazing thing. I've done a couple Facebook releases, and the next thing I knew, the phones were ringing off the hook. It's just been the most surreal thing. But here's the key. People are ready to be entertained. People are ready to see some great Southern style wrestling, and they're ready to honor Lawler. And it was just I don't want to put it like this, but it's the perfect storm of everything coming together for just an incredible, incredible, incredible event. And in case of rain, don't worry about it, because the city has the Omen Arena on hold for us. And we'll still be able to put the truck down there, too. We'll have to put tables inside the corridors and inside the buildings with everybody that's coming. But that number that they've allowed us through the CDC regulations that can accommodate Omen Arena as well.
Well, Bert, I'm excited. I think it sounds like you're sort of pretty excited about this as well. And like I said, we're going to check in with you every week on the podcast from now on up until September 26th and see how this thing is progressing, okay?
Yes, sir. And folks, once again, if you need tickets, 731-234-5883. Because when they're gone, they're not going to let us sell anymore, so...
All right. Well, Bert, listen, thanks for being on the show today, and we'll check back in with you next week, okay?
Okay, guys. King, I'll see you soon.
All right, Bert.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
So what is a day like this for you? I can't even imagine. Everything with the fans and then just like a this is your life of all these people from the past 50 years of your life coming in. What's a day like this typically like for you? Well, I know it's not typical. It hasn't happened a lot of times, but, you know, when you have these reunion shows.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I really haven't. We did one reunion show once down in South Haven, Mississippi at the Landers Center. And we brought back, man, I'm telling you, I was just looking at some of the YouTube video of that the other day where we brought in so many of the past superstars. I mean, you know, we even had Sputnik Monroe and Billy Wicks there, and of course Lance was the host of the thing, and we had the matches, and it was literally an all day celebration, and I just revert back to being a fan myself. I mean, I'm it's like when I go to Comic Cons, you know, I'll go there, of course, to be one of the celebrities that to be signing pictures and taking pictures with fans and everything, but I'm more interested in going around and seeing the other celebrities and seeing the other movie and TV stars. I really like to go to these things because I'm a big fan as well, and that's what, you know, when I hear you hear some of those names of, once again, it's like Kane, Dory Funk Jr., Lex Luger, D'Lo Brown. I mean, all of these names that are already on this list. I'm going to be just like a fan walking around having my picture made with all these guys as well as anybody. It's going to be exciting to me.
It's fantastic. And you and I have talked about some ideas that are out there for the main event and your big match. And I know that hasn't been released yet, but I think everybody that gets a ticket will be very satisfied with the lineup.
Yeah, and as Bert said, he's you know, he's going to work on that, and he is narrowing the list down. He's got like 10 different opponents, and that's the thing that I'm putting in Bert's lap. I'm going to leave that up to him, and he's done that for so many years, promoted wrestling shows all around Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Alabama, and that sort of thing. So that's one of the main things that he's going to be responsible for, and I guarantee you he'll put together a really exciting card and matches for that night. So that's the one thing I don't have to worry about.
Well, that is fantastic. Again, it's September 26th, the ballpark at Jackson, home of the Jackson Generals, USA Championship Wrestling, the 50th anniversary of the career of Jerry the King Lawler. I don't even know if there's ever been like a 50-year anniversary like this. I'd have to maybe in like Lucha or something. So this is this is tremendous.
I don't know if there's many guys that have hung around that long that are still wrestling 50 years after they had their first match.
Well, they're just not physically able to. You're a freak.
Well, thanks.
In a good way.
In a good way. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we talk about all the matches you've had and all the times you've fallen on this wooden ring and still able to get up and go after it.
Well, you know, Bert Prentice said a while ago, in 50 years, if you averaged 300 matches a year, which that's too much. I mean, sure, for the first, I'll bet 20 years of that, or 20 plus years of that career, there was probably more than 300 matches a year. But I cut it down to just say on the average, if you just average out 200 matches a year, That give you 100 days, you know, 165 days off in a year. So if you average 200 matches per year over 50 years. That's 10,000 matches.
That's going to wrap up part one of this two-part episode of the Jerry Lawler Show. Part two will be on Wednesday, and the King will pay tribute to his fallen comrade, the great Kamala, James Harris. In the meantime, please leave a five-star review on iTunes to help the show, and the King will be back on Wednesday.